talking about something that affects so many people, but that nobody wants to talk about: pornography. Speaking to individuals trying to stop looking at porn and to spouses looking for support.
This is Danny and Lindsay Pullman, a married couple who have been through this together. We're sharing a mix of our personal experiences, our experience as certified life coaches, and other empowering ideas.
We hope this can help you on your journey.
Enjoy! Hello, everyone. It's Lindsay.
Hey, guys. It's Danny, too.
We're here to talk to you guys. We're going to get that down.
Yeah, we'll work on it.
It's going to be better. Oh, man. Because I don't want to say my last name, because then he'd be like, and I'm Danny Pullman, too. So we're just kind of going. All right. Today, we're talking about one of the most fun things ever. They're called boundaries. Super fun, right, Danny?
Woo!
Danny was like so excited to talk about this today, you guys. He came in like jumping up and down, was like, I can't wait. Let's start. Can we start early, Lindsay? Please.
Yeah. Right? Okay, so in all honesty, guys, I was kind of taken off guard when I was prepping for this morning. Knew that we were going to talk about boundaries. It started bringing up some tough emotions that made me, I'm looking at it as a sign that I have some more work to do on this.
Wait. You're saying that, like, once you become a life coach, there's still work to do? What?
Just as much as before, just new flavors of it. Still working on all these things, but particularly with this one, it's a sign that I have some stuff I can look at here.
All right, so what you were going to talk about, what it was like for you before you knew about boundaries and what they were and what things looked like for you.
Yeah, so before I started thinking about like having good boundaries for me, I and becoming more conscious of that, I was always a major people pleaser and still have those tendencies, and I was not good at setting boundaries for myself.
Wait, why do you think you were a people pleaser? Like,
I'll get into that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
A little bit later, though, I think.
Okay.
But I think, I mean, number one, I had no idea how to set boundaries for myself. I didn't really know that I needed to in some new way. And maybe I didn't at the time, right? But then I got to a point where I did need to start becoming more aware of it. But something that I heard someone say that resonates with me is that you don't typically let someone else treat you worse than you treat yourself. And I think this can be true a lot of times. For myself, I've noticed it. And since I used to treat myself so poorly, I think I would let myself kind of get walked over by people, whether it was unbeknownst to each of us in our marriage. Not that I want to make sure that you guys know Lindsay's not someone who just like walks over people or was walking over me. So when I talk about this, I don't want you to think that. Like, it was more like we had a certain pattern, and neither of us even knew that there was something there that could be addressed, because it was just kind of like,
yeah, it was just our dance had. That yeah. we created.
And but then what I did notice is once I started treating myself better, I started realizing like, hey, I do need to maybe learn how to set some boundaries here. And with Lindsay, and just with anyone, and with myself.
I'm laughing because I agree. It was good. And it was really interesting because when he did start setting boundaries, like I was in a place where I'd, you know, been doing therapy and started coaching. So it was like this really funny, like, oh, dang it, he's setting a boundary. But, oh, cool, he like loves himself enough to set a boundary, you know? Like, it was kind of a fun thing. It was like I was like drawn to that part of him too, even though in the moment I was like, oh man.
yeah, because we had some patterns established, and so there was that initial resistance when you start changing a pattern. And but I remember that a lot of times with Lindsay, like you would totally appreciate it when I started setting boundaries. You would like tell me like, I'm really glad you're doing this. And you'd like praise me for it, because you recognize
probably not in the moment, but
Even in the moment, you did sometimes. Maybe. And I remember it. And I always appreciated that. It wasn't my natural thing to do that for myself. So having Lindsay, like, kind of have my back, like, no, set that boundary for yourself. It was great. Did you want to pipe in?
Well, no, I think it's kind of interesting because the less you know about boundaries, the more convoluted it can be, especially in marriage. Like, we, for the most part, you know, once we, like, started going through a lot of our stuff, we were pretty good about setting appropriate boundaries for our family and things like that. But you know, it's interesting because there were things that Danny did that I absolutely thought were boundary violations. And then as I got trained to become a coach, I realized they absolutely were not. And so, you know, it's funny because the times where he did set boundaries with me, I was like in the conversation wanting him to do something, thinking that he had violated some boundary, but that actually wasn't the case. So, but then he would set a boundary for me to not be kind of like, you know, trying to get him to behave a certain way, which you'll understand more as we teach about boundaries today.
Yeah. And then so. I think the last thing I was going to say about I was at is, it's fine. But if you do it again, I will leave this recording right now. That was a boundary right there, guys. I'm just kidding. Okay. No, the other thing I would do is is I would take the blame on anything, a lot of different things, just to be a peacemaker. And I think that, like what you were saying before, is when you asked me why it might have been part of my mode of operation, I think this is a big part of it. I was scared of conflict. I didn't know how to handle conflict well in relationships and thought it led to divorce. Yeah. And anyway, I thought I would be abandoned if there was too much conflict, all sorts of stuff going on in my mind. And so in order to, like, be a peacemaker and get through conflict as quick as possible and avoid it as much as possible, I think that was a big part of why I was trying to just take blame and or even just say yes to things, even if it was at too great a cost for myself.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, in my defense, just kidding, not really in my defense, but it's interesting because, again, I think I alluded to this same idea in another podcast episode, but, like, to me, Danny's, like, persona was just a peacemaker. Like, that's who he was when I met him. And so I just remember always being so amazed, like, wow, he's so agreeable. And, like, wow, like, he really doesn't care that this happened because I would have been harped on by, you know, my parents if I would, you know. So it was just like an interest. I remember just being like, wow, this is so refreshing. Like this is a whole new world to me. But it's interesting because I obviously wasn't aware, completely aware of like times where he would self-sacrifice in the name of like maintaining peace. And so it's been good for both of us just to become more aware so that we can take care of ourselves. And I will say, like, I don't see you as much of, like, that peacemaker temperament as you were when we met, but I like so much more what I see because I just love, I think it's really attractive to see someone stand for themselves and speak their truth. So I was totally attracted to it then.
Well, thanks.
I was attracted to that then, and I'm more attracted to this now, so...
So let's talk about boundaries then. This is
like, no. Let's just talk about how I'm like attracted to you right now. Just kidding.
Okay. Let's. How much time should we spend on that?
Oh, guys.
Do we need to pause the recording for a minute?
We might need to edit some of this out. Okay.
So like you said, a lot of people, a lot of us think that we understand boundaries, and maybe we don't as well as we think we do. And
yes.
There's nothing wrong with that, but it's such a useful discussion because. Yes. When you do start to understand boundaries, it can really enhances a relationship, right? Like one thing you were saying is when someone does set a boundary with you, like when you're on the receiving end of a boundary, you can actually look at that as, hey, like they care enough about this relationship and value it enough that they are setting a boundary.
Right.
And so rather than feeling like, oh, I'm getting cut out or whatever, like, or taking it personally, getting defensive, you can also look at it like they value this relationship. And that's why boundaries are important to talk about, is because if you do value a relationship with anybody, then having well set proper boundaries in place is going to be a crucial part of mm-hmm. building an intimate, trusting relationship.
Right. And I actually was thinking we'd end up talking about that at the end, but because Danny's talking about it right now, if you ever are on the end of someone setting a boundary with you specifically, I think, remember that the person remember that we're all humans, but also like someone values your relationship enough to talk to you about it, right? Because the easier thing is to just ghost people or unfriend them on Facebook. And there's nothing wrong with that either. But, from what my coach Brooke says, is setting a boundary requires more courage than simply eliminating someone from your life or continuing to harbor resentment. So take it as a gift and try not to overanalyze it. And yeah, I think it is kind of a courageous thing to set boundaries with people. But, you know, as Brene Brown says, the most compassionate people in the world are the people who are the best at setting boundaries. So that being said, let's talk about what they actually are.
Yeah, what are they? What aren't they? Give us the spiel, Lens.
Well, let me tell you so many things. I'm going to tell you I'm going to talk about when and how to set a boundary. And we're going to talk physical boundaries first, because I think it's easier to kind of just picture those in your mind. And then we'll talk about, you know, boundary setting from like an emotional standpoint. So physical boundary is like, imagine your yard, you have like your property line, and say that you have this property line and it isn't fenced off, but it's very clear where it starts and ends, right? Like, or it could be fenced off, whatever you decide. Just think about, like, visualize where you live or something similar to that. You know, people walking their dogs down the street, you're not gonna like run out of your house and start yelling at them being like, hey, if you come onto my yard, I'm calling the cops, right? Like, you're not gonna maybe some people do, but most people aren't like announcing all of their physical property boundary lines to people, right? So from an emotional standpoint, we all as humans have our own emotional fence lines, okay? And there's no right or wrong. We get to decide what those are for ourselves. And I think the more we grow and how much we love and accept and respect ourselves, the more clear those lines come. It almost can just come pretty naturally. So, you know, when to set a boundary, you know, a lot of times if you're not clear on what your boundaries are, people are going to be unaware if they've crossed one, right? So if someone has crossed an emotional boundary for you, then, and you don't want that to happen again, then it can be really effective. It probably needs to happen. Like, you need to be willing to communicate that to someone only when they violated it, right? Because just like someone crossing the street by your house, like, you're not going to run out of your house yelling at them. But if they are like coming onto your property and you don't know who they are and you don't want them there, then you're going to communicate like, hey, this is my space. All right. Is there something you're wanting to say? Okay. So the two steps to effectively set an emotional boundary, they're really simple, you guys, but I will tell you in my coaching experience, this boundary work is hard. It's really hard to just like get in one, you know, 10, 20 minute or even like a 45 minute coaching session. So if it sounds easy the way we talk about it, or if it sounds confusing, or if you're feeling like a little bit closed off, or if it's just feels kind of confusing, don't worry. Like, we go deeper into this in our coaching programs. But basically, the two steps to effectively set an emotional boundary are, one, the request, and one, the consequence. Okay? So really clear. The request. And by the way, I think this is all really fitting that we're talking about this right before Christmas and Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. This is going into fitting. Holidays with family. And
yes. Yes. Yes.
For sure.
All right. So the request is just simply asking someone to stop doing the thing that infringes on your property. So literally or emotionally. Okay? The consequence is that you tell the person what you will do if they do not comply with your requests. Okay? So remember that the boundaries you set are meant to protect you emotionally, so you need to clearly communicate when a violation has occurred, okay? And remember, when you communicate these boundary violations, we're not trying to keep the world happy. We're taking care of our own emotional space, okay? So just because we get really good at requesting and making these boundary requests, it doesn't mean everyone's going to respond the way we want them to. Am I right?
Yeah.
Or am I right?
Yeah. And that's really important. Like, if it's not coming from a place of loving yourself and protecting mm-hmm. yourself, then before you set a boundary, you might want to do the work it will take to kind of get to that place in your mind, right?
Yeah. Yeah, which is something we go way more into detail in our coaching programs.
Because if you skip ahead and just want to set the boundary urgently without, like, coming from that space, then you're going to come up with some, maybe some stuff that's not as helpful or that that gets in the way.
Yeah. Well, and it's usually you trying to get someone to behave in a way so that you can feel better. But remember, it's not how people behave that makes you feel better. It's how you think about how they behave that makes you feel better, right? So an example of something that is not a boundary issue is, I wish my husband would take the garbage out, okay? Because when he does take the garbage out, we choose how to think about it. We can choose to think, wow, he's amazing. He read my mind. Or we can choose to think, he took that out like 40 minutes after I asked. That's super annoying.
So, like, so a boundary wouldn't be like, you do this when I want you to, how I want you to.
No, that's kind of like having a set of expectations for someone and thinking that they need to do that to make you feel better. So usually, like, you know, requests like, I wish my husband would take the garbage out, or I wish my wife was more romantic, or I want my boss to give me more praise, or I want my children or my parents to text me back when I text them. Those are not boundary issues. Those kind of fall in line with our manual episode. So, that honestly was some of the best work that I did when I was getting trained to be a coach, is realizing how much stuff I thought was a boundary issue in my marriage specifically. And it was more me having like manual work to do.
So with the taking the garbage out example, this might be a good one that's not very uncomfortable to talk about too. Yeah. Like, what would an example of a boundary be in that situation?
Well, I know, like, for me personally, like, if I have a request for Danny, it's like, let's say, I guess we can say it's a trash. It might be the toilets, but it might be like, hey, like, if I already asked him to take out the trash and he said he would do it and it like isn't happening, then I might just say, hey, if you don't do it by this time, I'm going to do it. But like, it has nothing to do with like me trying to get him to do it. It's more just like, I've decided that I really just want the trash taken out and I want to take care of what my wants and myself. And so I just decide I'm going to do it for myself. So I don't know, is that a good example or is it a little bit?
No, like, so maybe like if taking the trash out is important to you.
Yeah.
Then
I'm going to take care of it myself.
Then you might just decide for yourself, like, okay, so if he doesn't do it by this time, because I want it out, whether he does it or not, I will do it when it is 2 feet piled above the top of the lid.
Instead of one.
Yeah. Something like that?
Yeah. So I think another example could be like, you know, say that you have a friend who is always late, right? So you could, you know, be super annoyed by this person and like you could decide to like, well, you know, you can decide if this behavior is wrong, good, bad, disrespectful. Like you could make it all these things and just be like, screw it. Like we're not inviting her on any more girls' nights because she always makes us late. You could totally do that. Or you could just be like, you know what? I really do like hanging out with her and it is really fun. So what you could do is just set a simple boundary and just like call her up or text her and just be like, hey, we're getting together. We really want to get to the restaurant by, you know, 8 o'clock. So we are leaving our house at 7:45 sharp. So we'll wait, you know, we'll wait like 2 or 3 minutes, but we're going to be out of the driveway by 7:48. So if you want to ride with us, then that's when we're going to be gone. Right. And so you're taking care of yourself, protecting yourself and your emotions and your time. And you're giving her the space and the ability to choose what she wants to do, right? And, you know, she might be like, oh, of course, yeah, I'll totally be on time. And she might get mad. And so I think something to remember when we set boundaries is that this doesn't mean people are just going to always fall into compliance. So, but if you have enough, like, love and respect for yourself and what you want and know that you are in control of your emotions and they get to be in charge of theirs, then you really can set them from a place of absolute love and compassion. Even if other people think you're not, you can know and walk authentically, you know, in your space knowing that.
Yeah, and that might be part of having a really effective boundary is knowing that you are going to be okay whether someone sticks to that boundary or not. But then on top of that,
yeah,
something really important to do when you do set a boundary is to follow through. Like with that example,
yes, exactly.
You want to make sure that you do follow through and leave after 2 to 3 minutes, with
yeah.
the friend who is sometimes late, right?
Yeah.
And with any other boundary that you do set, like once, you can't really, we were talking about this before, how you can't really violate a boundary that hasn't been set. And I think there are some exceptions to that, particularly with like little kids or people who are young and innocent and vulnerable in certain ways. Like, I think there are certain boundaries that can be crossed there.
Yeah, the scope of what we're talking about today lies in, you know, boundaries within like marital relationships and friendships, you know, between adults or older adolescents.
Yes. So that's kind of what we're focused on. And so once you have set that boundary and it is violated, following through becomes very important, and you do it from a place of loving yourself
mm-hmm.
or protecting yourself.
Yeah.
And like if someone doesn't talk to you the way that you like to be talked to, rather than try to control how they talk to you and tell them they have to do it a certain way or else, that's like more of an ultimatum, right? It might look more like, okay, like if you talk to me in this way, then I'm going to point it out that you're doing it. And then if you continue to talk to me in that way, then I'm going to leave the room, or I'm going to leave the car, or you know it can be something like that where you just tell yourself, I'm gonna follow through in this way and I don't have to be talked to like this, and I will remove myself if I need to.
So, you know, I think that one of the biggest things to keep in mind before you decide to set a boundary is like just kind of check in with yourself and see kind of how you're feeling. Okay, if you're like really hoping that they change their behavior based on what you ask them to do, then this might be more of like a manual type situation than you just setting a boundary to take care of yourself. So it, or, you know, but also like you might be angry, frustrated, and mad. Just make sure you're working through that before you do the boundary work so that you're really clear on the boundary that you're creating and that it isn't you just trying to like get someone to behave in a way to help you feel safe or things like that.
My teacher Bev in the life coach school, she taught me that a lot of times, first of all, there's a reason that we're talking about boundaries right after talking about manual, because those two do go together really well. Because some people worry if they drop their manuals that they're going to get walked all over, right? But no, you're not going to. And then that's where boundaries come in. And what Bev said is that a lot of times when you think you need to set a boundary, if you do stop and look at it and do the manual work and the emotional adulthood, childhood work, where you are owning your feelings, being responsible for yours, and trying to drop whatever manuals you can drop, then you, a lot of times you don't even end up needing to set a boundary. So you go into it thinking you need to set a boundary, but you then do this work and you realize, oh, I actually don't need a boundary there. But if you still do, then you're in a better headspace to do it in a much more effective and helpful way, I think.
Right. And if you are doing it from a place of love, like it really is the work of true intimacy. So, you know, honoring yourself and what is authentic and true, along with being, you know, having the courage to let other people interpret it however they will, it can be really hard and it can be a little bit scary, but totally worth it in the end. Because I think what happens is like you draw your tribe towards you. You know, there might be people that hate it and they act out and get mad, and that's totally fine. But like honestly, like as my husband like began to set more boundaries for himself, I like was totally attracted to it. And I think it can be that way like with, you know, friendships too, is like you can kind of be drawn towards those people. I think people are drawn to that, like that self-love, you know, that you might have, that usually needs to be there before you set an appropriate boundary. So I think that's almost everything.
I was going to say just a couple things that that really helped me to get started on this is One of the first things was just giving myself the space to say no more often in my life. I think
the pendulum swung back, my friends. Swung very far.
And I went through a period where I said a whole lot of no's in order to get the space I needed to kind of rebuild how I want to do certain things. And that's completely okay. And for me, what I've noticed is when I do give myself the space to say no, I'm that much more able to genuinely show up and authentically be engaged in something that I say yes to. Because I think before that, I was saying yes, even when I didn't really want to. And, you know, kind of almost like lying to people, like, yeah, I'd be happy to. And
but then, like, resenting them the whole time. You're, like, doing them a favor and then blaming them for even asking you when you're the one who said yes.
Yeah, exactly.
It happens all the time.
Yeah, and that's, like, what people-pleasing ends up being a lot of times, right? But the more I've allowed myself just to say no, and even if with church where it's, like, commandments or things like that, like, recognizing with each one of those things where I'm trying to do it, like, I can say no and not do it if I want to. And it was the same thing when I was deciding to serve a Mormon mission back when I was 19. Like, I went to my mom. I was like, Mom, do I have to do this? Because part of me wondered if I had to do it with kind of how the community teaches it. And there can sometimes feel like there's pressure to serve a mission. At least I was feeling that way. And my mom was like, no, you don't have to. It's your choice. And I remember when she said that, I was like, oh, okay, I for sure want to go. Like, it was almost instant, the relief. And it's that way with so many other things, I've realized. And then on top of that, just starting to treat myself better and improve my own self-talk and how I behave toward myself. That kind of, the more I did that, the more I recognized things that wouldn't be congruent with that, that come from other people, no matter who it is in my life, and I can start setting boundaries because I know how to love myself better. So when we look back and do the thank you next, what's your version of that with kind of how we navigated through this a few years ago?
I'm thankful that I became more aware that of, you know, any boundary violations I might have been crossing. And I'm also just thankful for, like, my willingness to learn and be open to the idea of something different than what I knew.
For sure. That's always been a big strength of yours, I feel like.
What about you?
Yeah, if I look back at it...
I was making a funny face.
if I look back at it in this mentality... like with the people pleasing, and I guess I alluded to it already, is I think I was doing it, yeah, because I wanted to love people. I wanted to show up in the world as the best person I could, and wanted to follow through on cool things, cool activities or service or whatever it is, you know, like, I think that's where a lot of it stemmed from.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm grateful that was my heart in it and my intent behind it.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, on top of that, I'm also grateful that I got to a point where I was just like, you know what, I don't really treat myself that well, and what could it be like if I did? And it being willing to imagine that it can be different and better. I'm really glad that I did that too.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else, sir?
No, I think that's it. If you guys have questions, we have links in the show notes. There might be a guide, but there is definitely a link to a type form Q&A if you have more questions. Go ahead and ask us, and we'll try to respond via email or through another podcast, or ask us anything live, Facebook Live.
All right. Thanks so much for listening, everybody.
Take care. See ya.
Thanks for listening.
If you're ready to get unstuck, move forward, or just feel better about your life and marriage, please reach out to us, whether it's for both of you or just yourself. You'd be surprised how much progress can be made in your marriage even if one of you works on the relationship. Don't wait for someone else to make things better for you.
For more information or to find out what it would be like to have a coach, visit our websites, lindsaypohlman.com and dannypohlman.com. Make sure you spell Pohlman, P-O-E-L-M-A-N. For freebies or other guides mentioned, check out the show notes.
And to our current clients, we love you and thank you for letting us be a part of your hero's journey.